Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller. Turning our attention to food now, summer appetizers, one thing we can talk about, and the other, another thing we can talk about is gourmet ketchups. And who better to talk about it than Chef Terry Milligan? She is a culinary instructor and writer and former owner and executive chef at the Inn at Christopher's in Sister Bay in Door County, and always great to have her with us. Thank you, Terry, so much for taking time to be with us today.
Well, happy always to be on and always happy to talk about food, especially because we're getting close to the 4th of July.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of dishes, especially those off the grill, can go from good to great with the right condiment. And I think a lot of us think ketchup is an all-American topping, but it actually has a very long and interesting history, doesn't it?
It really does. I started doing this article for the Milwaukee Journal that happens to be online right now on the Journal's website. It's going to be in tomorrow's food section in the cover story. But I found all this interesting stuff about ketchup. It goes all the way back to the 16th century in China and actually started in that area as more of a fish sauce, which you can still get. The Vietnamese fish sauces that are on the market now are really what the original ketchups were in 16th century China. And they were brought over, those recipes were brought over when Dutch and British sailors were over there doing their trading, and they brought them back to their home countries. It developed into what we have today, but originally it was a fish-based sauce, mainly used, made with anchovies, believe it or not.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they used it because it was, with the salt content, it really held for a long time.
Oh, sure.
It was a condiment in that section. It was then brought over to England, where it was used a lot with the fish base, but then the English started putting some other things in, especially fruits. So you'd have a little mixture of fruit and the fish. So it just kind of developed into a different concoction. And then finally, not until the mid-1800s did we start getting what we know today as ketchup, which is basically the bottled ketchup we buy, which is a tomato-based ketchup.
Yeah. And there are so many. By the way, Judith just put the Journal Sentinel article up on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, so people can go to that to see that. There are so many variations. What are some of the most interesting variations that you've come across?
Well, first I want to say some people ask what makes ketchup ketchup. It's vinegar, sugar, salt, spices, and some other, you know, a tomato or a fruit that basically is just cooked down and then pureed. So it's kind of got that sweet and vinegary flavor at once. Some of the ones that I have worked with this past month when I was doing this story were some really neat ones. One, tomato-based, which with rhubarb, though. So everybody's got lots of rhubarb, doesn't know what. If you've got a rhubarb patch, you know you've got a lot of rhubarb, and you don't know what to do with it. You can make a rhubarb tomato ketchup, which, again, has that kind of fruity flavor with the tomatoes, but a little spice. I did another one with blueberries, and it's no tomatoes involved. Blueberry, chipotle peppers for that snap, and lime. And it's great on a grilled piece of fish or on chicken. And one of my favorites is this tomatillo and roasted green chili ketchup, which is terrific on a taco or a grilled pork. And a friend of mine I had a lot of ketchup after I did this article, and I canned it all, actually, so it's nice because you can have it throughout the year. But I gave some to some friends, and they used it on french fries, and they said it was terrific. So, you know, some really fun ways to kind of get out of the mold of, though I love the Heinz ketchup, you know, and what he developed, but there are a lot of ways, as I said in the article, things that are old always seem to come back. So we're going transitioning now back to doing more some fruit-based and more interesting types of combinations of flavors.
Well, it sounds wonderful. By the way, I want to give your website because you've got a lot of great recipes and so forth on your site.
I try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's Chef Terry Milligan. So CHEF Chef Terry TERRI. Milligan, MILLIGAN.com. And we have a link to that on my Facebook page. It's probably the easiest way to do it is just go there and you can get a link right to it. But
and
you
I
have lots
a couple
on
of
it.
Those blueberry or some of those ketchup recipes on there as well.
Yes, actually, the blueberry, I know the blueberry chipotle lime ketchup recipe is up. We've got that up, and some other recipes as well Judith was able to post. I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. You may have a question about ketchup or other condiments from scratch. Maybe you have a favorite summer appetizer that you'd like to talk with us about and share. Love to hear about it. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. Just go to The Larry Mealer Show and you can post a question or a comment there. And I'll put you on the spot here. Well, I don't think it's really hard on the spot, but Judith was in Canada on vacation and brought back for me as a gift a peach maple jam.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I wonder if I couldn't do a glaze.
You sure could with that.
Mm-hmm. What would be a good way?
You wouldn't even have to do much with it to make it a glaze, but I would use that on a chicken for sure, or even pork.
I was thinking pork.
Mm-hmm. Either one of those, and, you know, when you do that, you can pre-cook the meats and then at the very end put that glaze on because you don't want it to get burnt. But you could put that on more towards the end of the cooking process. I think jams, jellies, all of those make terrific. And, in fact, these ketchups mimic a little bit like a barbecue sauce in some ways, especially the curry ketchup. It's almost like a barbecue sauce. And you do that with any of those meats. You're going to have some good meals out of that.
I think so. So, if I just sort of cook that down or, I mean, heat it up, why?
Yeah, you might not even have to cook it down or heat it up, Larry. Just, you know, it depends how thick it is. If it's really thick, you might want to heat it up. But you might be able to just kind of brush it or dab it on that chicken or pork.
Yeah, it's, I'm going to taste it, and there might be horseradish possibly, mm-hmm. but something else, too, that would give it a little bite, too.
Yeah, you can give it a little zip. You know, just like this one where I had the chipotle peppers in there, it just gives it a little bit of heat.
Yeah.
And makes it a little more summery barbecue-y.
Well, it's making me hungry already, Terry. I tell you. Ethan in Madison has a question for you. Hi, Ethan.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Hey, Terry, I have kind of a weird question for you. I know I've always heard that. Sorry, I you're the expert. So I've always heard that salsa is actually the most used condiment in the United States. And I always think of ketchup as the most used. And I was just wondering where that comes from.
I never thought of salt as a condiment. I mean, it's a...
Salsa.
Salsa.
It's a salsa, right?
Yeah. I heard salt. That salt is weird.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was talking salsa, yeah.
Salsa. It could be. I mean, I don't know what's number one or number two. I know that ketchup, I thought, was more universal than salsa. But with the roots of, the Hispanic influence coming up, salsas have done the same thing. But I know that over 95% of the American population has a bottle of ketchup in their house, according to Heinz. So, that is, I don't know if 95% have salsa.
yeah, it must be 96% or something.
So we'll have to do some research. But I know that the ketchup people are pretty good about their research, those Heinz folks. And I think it's true. It might not be Heinz ketchup, but they've got people, that's kind of a staple in a lot of folks' homes.
You know, it's really weird. For some reason, I have two ketchups in my refrigerator, and I was looking in my cupboard yesterday, and here's another bottle of ketchup in the cupboard.
So apparently you are in that 95 percentile.
I'm in that percentage of people.
You're skewing our percentile with three of them.
I'm of that percentage where I'm at the grocery store, and I think, have I got ketchup? I better buy another bottle of ketchup. That's me.
Well, you can use it for other things. I mean, I use ketchup to, as you said, to doctor up your peach preserves. You know, mm-hmm. you can doctor the ketchup up in a pinch and make it into a nice barbecue sauce, too. So
yeah.
Similar to kind of what we did in this article.
Anne in Cedar Grove, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. My comment is that I grew up not really with ketchup, but with Heinz chili sauce,
mm-hmm.
which is related, but it has some zip. It has some spice to it. And so that's always been my staple rather than ketchup, and I introduced my husband to it, and he prefers it because we both like a lot of flavor. So that's my comment.
Well, that's interesting. You know, the Heinz 57 brand, you know, it came up in my article, and I wondered how that came up. And having so many brands, the 57, Mr. Heinz actually developed as just a marketing tool. He didn't have 57 flavors, but I know that of the chili sauce and all those. But now he has Heinz has over 5,700 different items. So yours is obviously one of that many.
Well, and I like that chili sauce as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's got just a little, it's got a little bite to it, I guess.
You know, and the other thing, all those packaging, their big thing at Heinz was he always wanted to have a clear package because he wanted people to see exactly what they were getting. So his packaging tends to be, especially, well, on tomato ketchup for sure, but always clear.
Yep. Yeah. And thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments as we talk gourmet ketchups and summer appetizers with our guest today, Terry Milligan. I know you have some great summer appetizers to share, and we have those some of those recipes up on, I know there's some of them up on your website,
mm-hmm.
at chefterrymilligan.com.
Yep.
And there's a link from our Facebook page as well. So there we can talk about some of those. Summer rolls is one, and we've got maybe 45 seconds. We can talk about that for a minute. What about those summer rolls?
Well, summer rolls I love. If you're not familiar with them, they're made with a rice paper. So what I like about them is they're gluten-free.
Yeah.
And you can make them a day or so ahead. People don't think you can, but you can wrap them individually in just some cellophane, and they stay great. My husband recently has had to watch his gluten intake, and these are just a terrific, quick, and really fresh appetizer to have. Just fresh. You can put whatever little vegetables you want to julienne and put in there. Because I have the little Martha Stewart gene, sometimes put in edible flowers as well inside of them and make them look really pretty. But they're a great, great summer appetizer, which, as you said, are listed on my website with some pictures and directions.
Terry Milligan's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. We'll take a quick look at the news, the weather. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the IdeasNet. And then we will be back with Terry. Stay with us. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, the warm weather can really change what we feel like eating, isn't it? I tend to want something a little lighter in the summertime when that warm temperatures come. And something that's not going to heat the house up either. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Happy to have Chef Terry Milligan with us. She's a culinary instructor and writer, as well as the former owner and executive chef at Inn at Christopher's in Sister Bay. And Terry, great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being along. You may have a question or comment for her. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. In fact, Doug from Lancaster's on the phone, so let's go to Doug. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for having me. I have been wondering for a long time. I'm having my Simpsons Mr. Burns moment, standing in the grocery store looking at two bottles. One is spelled K-E-T-C-H-U-P, and the other is C-A-T-S-U-P. So which is the proper spelling?
Well, I looked that up when I was writing this article.
Oh,
actually, they're both correct. It depends really on the area of where you live. A lot of times in more of the southern area, and especially the Hispanic versions, if you're in Mexico or in South America, you'll see the C version, the ketchup with the C more. And up here, us northerners apparently like the K version. But they're both correct, and they're both used interchangeably. So there's not a wrong way or a right way. I guess there is a right way. They're both correct.
There you go, Doug. Thank you. And Mike in Eau Claire, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yes, good morning. As always, Larry, you got the best shows.
Thank you.
I will take issue with the ketchup thing, though, because I happen to be a mustard fan.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Ever since, and especially now, a couple of years ago, my son introduced me to that mustard museum down by Madison. And
I was going to say that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. There are as many varieties of ketchup as there are mustard, because you go to that museum and what you can get and take home, it's just phenomenal.
I did some research about that a few months ago for a different article, and I think they had over 5,000 different types of mustard at the museum.
Yeah, Barry Levinson.
It's popular,
amazing.
And I think it ranks very close to our ketchup.
I like the mustard because I like a little, like that one caller was, I like a little bit more zip,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a real fan of real heat, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, Larry, for your glaze, if it was me, I think I'd finally dice up either a jalapeno or one of the nicest things I've used for a little bit of heat and some really wonderful flavor is pickled chipotles.
Those are very good.
Oh.
Pickling is another thing like canning that's, you know, is very getting very in again. A lot of people
are doing unusual
pickling.
Yeah, so keep that in mind, too, Larry. I get them at a Mexican grocery store up here, and my goodness, I fell in love with those, too. But I'm one of those that has an exploring palate. I'm always looking for something new. Is there anything new in ketchup?
Well, if you looked at the recipes that I have online are all different types of ketchup. So, yes, the one you might like, if you like the spice, is the tomatillo one because it's got green chilies in it. And so it's got a lot of zip to it. No tomato in there. It's just the puree. You cook down the tomatillos with the chilies, and you get a little heat and some zip in there as well, and you get a little Hispanic influence in the cooking, too. So that's a nice one you might want to try.
Thank you. I will be looking at that tonight when I get home. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Mike, for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join Mike. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And here's Daniel who says, ooh, ooh, ooh. I'd love to tinker with ketchup. This is a Facebook comment. He says, I love to tinker with ketchup. My favorite is to add a few drops of fish sauce,
mm-hmm.
a spoonful of oyster sauce, and a dab of Korean chili sauce to a 16-ounce bottle of store-bought ketchup.
Well, he's going back to the roots and origin of ketchup there, and he probably didn't even know it.
No, absolutely. He says, Heinz has gotten on the bandwagon, too. There's a spicy hot and a balsamic vinegar ketchup that is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting. Yeah, you can certainly doctor up your own and not have to make them from scratch.
Yep, absolutely. Wendell and Marinette, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. I'm a ketchup fan of over the years. But I ran into something from Germany called curry ketchup, and it's really delicious. It's got a little bit of a curry taste to it, and it's something worth trying for people who are interested in ketchups.
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, I have a curry ketchup recipe
yes.
in that article, so you can make it yourself. So, and then the curry with the tomato is a wonderful combination.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks very much for calling, and Pat and Eau Claire, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, hi, Larry. We love your show, and we just tuned in a little bit late. A very interesting guest you have on. Larry, I'm from the Quad Cities originally, live in Eau Claire now, and there's a mustard manufacturer in Rock Island, Illinois, named Boetjes, B-O-E-T-J-E-S, Boetjes, and it's the best German-Dutch mustard. And, Larry, if you have a ham sandwich and put a little Boetjes on there, you're in business. I guarantee that. But I just wanted to mention, I don't know if it's fit your program or not, but I have no investment in Boetjes, but it's just a wonderful mustard, and I've shared it with a lot of friends up in northern Wisconsin, and everybody loves it. But,
oh, so how's it spelled again? B-O?
Larry, I believe it's B-O-E-T-J-E-S, Boetjes.
All right,
Rock Island, Illinois.
All right. I'm going to try it, Pat. I'm going to try it out. Thank you for calling. I have to get a hold of Barry Levinson over at the Mustard Museum. Give him a call and see
if
he's...
I'm sure they are aware of it over there.
Oh, I'm sure he's got a jar of it somewhere there.
Mm-hmm.
We should you know, we talked about summer rolls a little bit earlier, but you've got, you know, I really like quesadillas, and my daughter, Emily, just loves quesadillas. And you've got a really cool one with sweet potatoes.
Yes, a nice kind of different quesadilla, as you said. It's with sweet potatoes, black bean, and then kale. So you kind of saute the kale very quickly before you put them in the quesadillas. What's nice about this recipe, as with the summer roll, is you can make that filling ahead of time, even a day or two ahead of time, and then just put the quesadillas together when you're ready to finish them. So you could get the sweet potato filling with the black beans and the kale all set, and then put them right together when you're ready to serve them. Goes great with salsa from our previous caller. He can use some of that salsa that he likes on top. As well as a nice Greek yogurt or a sour cream goes well with that.
Well, that sounds great. And you have also a crab. Crab and fresh corn cakes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, does that sound good?
You could have this, Larry, either as a main course or a lunch type thing, or as I made them in the recipe for kind of a, I'd say about a 1.5-inch size small crab cake. So you could use that as a past appetizer or out on a buffet. It's with your fresh crab. Well, not fresh, unfortunately. We live in Wisconsin. We don't get fresh crab that much. But you can get nice quality canned crab, our lovely fresh corn that'll be in season soon. And then you add some different flavorings. But what I like in this, and I think is the key ingredient, is smoked paprika.
Yeah.
So it's not your normal paprika. It's smoked. It's a Spanish seasoning, usually found in paellas and things like that from Spain. But it has this nice kind of smoked flavor. Normal paprika is kind of drab, I feel. You know, you get a little color, but this, you actually get a delicious smoked flavoring in it. And it goes really, really well with the crab and with the corn.
Well, and you know, it doesn't look that hard to make either, as I'm looking at your recipe.
It's really not. It's almost like a one dish, one or one bowl appetizer. You put everything in one bowl, add flour and cornmeal. If you needed to do it gluten-free, you could use a gluten-free flour in there because it's the flour. It's just kind of holding it together. It's not for like a bread rising. It becomes a it says in a batter, it's kind of more, it is a batter to a degree. When I make them to, because, again, I have my Martha Stewart gene, and I want them to be all uniform, I use a little ice cream scoop, and I just scoop them out so they're all the same size when I put them in the pan. I did these for a cooking class last week at the Milwaukee Public Market, which I had 50 people in, and I had to make them ahead of time, and I just made them all ahead of time, had them laid out on a cookie sheet pan, and just popped them in the oven, a 350 oven, for about 4 or 5 minutes to heat up right before I took the samples out. So some of your listeners might want to make these, make them ahead of time, cook them up, and just pop them in the oven and heat them up when you're ready to serve them.
Oh.
Again, a make-ahead appetizer.
Yeah, that's a really nice one. All right, I'm hanging on to that one. Hanging on to that one, Terry.
It's good, and there were no corn crab cakes left from the 50 people.
Oh, my goodness. Kate in Rhinelander has something to share. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I heard that you were looking for some simple and refreshing appetizers for summer, and one I like is, especially when the cherry tomatoes start to coming in, is hollowing them out a little bit. You have to use a sharp knife and just take the cap off. It's a little pesky, but then you put some fried crumpled bacon into some softened cream cheese and maybe some chives and stuff the pretty cherry tomatoes and refrigerate them till they're set. And it makes a nice cold and pretty appetizer. And you can use smoked salmon instead of bacon or, you know, other goodies like olives.
Yeah.
That is a great tip, and doing those little hollowed out tomatoes it's very useful for doing ahead, like you said, and putting them in the refrigerator, having them ready when your guests are there, so you can entertain your guests and not be futzing with things.
Right, and they're very pretty.
They're very, very pretty.
Colored,
the fresh basil
colored
is coming into season now, and that's a great thing to add, too.
You know, I've done that with larger tomatoes, somewhat larger tomatoes, where I've actually, you take the cap off, or you know, cut the top, whatever, quarter or so, or third maybe, and then hollow out, and then use pretty much those same materials, and then put the cap back on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a pretty way to serve.
Well, tomatoes are, and there's so many lovely tomatoes, too, that up here in Door County, we're very fortunate that some of the farmers have. I've seen 5 and 6 different types of colors, from chocolate. They have chocolate tomatoes that are small, to the yellow tomatoes. Just beautiful. You could do a lovely arrangement.
Yeah. Kate, thank you.
Thank you.
You're making me hungry again.
I'm starving listening to your show.
That's what we strive for.
That's what we strive for. Yeah, I can't wait. I've got a salad waiting for me when I'm done. And a raspberry vinaigrette dressing for it. I'm really looking forward to it. You actually have some entree salad ideas as well, don't you?
I do. On that same post that I have on my site, at the bottom, I put links there, already recipes that are on my site, so it's just a quick link to the recipes. But I put 3 kind of unusual summer salads. 2 of them actually include an online video, so you can watch me make the salads as well. So kind of a fun thing if you want to learn some cooking techniques and see me live, sort of,
mm-hmm.
doing them. It's fun. But one of my favorite new ones is this, and very easy for folks to do, strawberry salad with a Montrachet truffle. And it's a truffle shape, the little round shape, but I use goat cheese and just put some herbs and kind of roll them in chopped nuts, and you get what looks like a chocolate truffle, but it's actually cheese. And you can put that on top of the salad and make it ahead of time.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds really good.
And strawberries are, coming out in season now, so it's a nice salad to think of, and it has a lovely strawberry vinaigrette that you make either in a blender or a food processor. Make it ahead. You can store that in the refrigerator. Just bring it out about 15 minutes before you want to serve those dressings so they get to room temperature.
That sounds great. And I made a salad the other night. It was arugula, and I had a blue cheese and a vinaigrette, but I also had apple and some nuts. What did I have? Oh, I had sesame seeds in it as well. Apples, and did I put raspberries?
You sound like quite the cook.
Well, I do a little cooking, and I've taught some classes myself over the years. So, yeah. So, anyway, I'm looking forward to my salad after the show today. Oh, my gosh. Judith said she had a salad over the weekend with goat cheese, peaches, and candied pecans.
Oh, candied pecans or candied nuts are very in. And they're great because sometimes, again, some spice, candy the nuts, but also put a little chili powder in when you're candying the nuts. And you get that kind of sweet and salty and kind of spicy mix. It goes very well with salads. You just need a few nuts on there to spice it up like that.
Yeah, I like to put pecans on, too, on salads, too, because it really does add a lot. It can add a lot.
And crunch as well, which is always nice.
Right, you bet. Teresa in Green Bay, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I when you were talking about salads, I have a salad that my family absolutely loves, and whenever I make it for other people, they always want to know what did mm-hmm. I do. And it's basically just making a salad using your favorite things, and I throw everything into a salad, and then I take boneless, skinless chicken breast and chop it up into chunks, smaller mm-hmm. chunks, and saute it with mushrooms and garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And sprinkle in some red peppers and shoyu and Worcestershire sauce to give it some salt, and serve it with ranch dressing.
and you'd be amazed at how good that is.
Oh, it sounds good.
Well, everything goes well with ranch dressing, I think.
It does. That sounds. Teresa, you should post that to my Facebook page, will you?
Okay.
I'd like to have that posted to my Facebook page because I didn't get everything written down, and it's similar to
it's
something.
It's very simple.
Yeah, it's similar. Well, it's similar to my salad for today. It's got some rested chicken that has been sautéed with a little garlic and anyway, post that for me. thank you very much for calling. What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite summer appetizer, Terry?
Boy, that's a hard one.
And it kind of depends on what you're doing and, you know, what else is there, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I have to say the summer rolls that I do, or spring rolls, some people call them spring rolls, but they're not fried. You know, they're healthier since they're not fried. It's one of my favorites because I am busy, and I hate to say I am in that 55 and over range and watching my waistline.
Yeah.
And they're really healthy, and you're going to get you get filled up very nicely, and you can use kind of whatever you've got in the refrigerator, similar to your last caller that puts lots of things in her salads. You can use everything from yellow peppers and green onions and carrots to asparagus, cabbage, avocados, shrimp if you have some, so you can just really be creative with them. So I think that's why that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that sounds great. I was just thinking about dinner the other night. I had a pork tenderloin with that marinated in a cherry, a Door County cherry,
yes,
sauce,
mm-hmm,
that turned out really good, and a nice salad with it, and some pretty nice loaf of bread that I didn't make myself, but I got from the local shop. That was and that was almost it. I did take, here's one little thing that I did, that I had some butternut squash, and I took the skin off the butternut squash, and then I sliced it lengthwise,
mm-hmm,
in strips about, maybe a quarter to a half inch thick, and then grilled those.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, and it grilled up with, I had some garlic and, what else did I have? Olive oil and salt and pepper in that, and just sort of basted it, and then you can do that butternut squash in maybe 4 or 5 minutes on a side.
Mm-hmm. That's I love butternut squash. It's extremely versatile. You can think of it now as almost all year type of a vegetable that you can get now.
Yeah, and my daughter loved it. Although she said, "Why didn't you put brown sugar on it, Dad?" And I said,
it can be savory as well as sweet.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It can, mm-hmm, be savory as well as sweet. What are you up to now? You're doing a lot of teaching.
Oh, I do lots of teaching and food writing now. I teach a lot at the Milwaukee Public Market in downtown Milwaukee. I do hands-on and demos there, demonstration classes. I write for the Milwaukee Journal and a magazine called Edible Door, which just came out, the new issue just came out this week.
Oh.
And I've got a neat article on goat milk gelato in there.
Oh.
We have quite a few goats in Door County. And one gentleman here is now making his own goat milk gelato that he sells. And it's got some cute pictures of the goats, but also some nice recipes, which you, if you don't have goat milk, could make the ice cream with regular whole milk as well. So some fun recipes there. And then I teach in Door County at a place called the Savory Spoon.
Yeah.
And I also do private classes at a B&B up here called the Eagle Harbor Inn.
And all that's on your website.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Well, it is always such a pleasure to talk with you, Terry. You've got great enthusiasm and you do a wonderful job. Thank you so much. And I hope everybody takes a look at your website to find out what else you're up to.
I've got lots to share there, so please do.
Terry Milligan, culinary instructor, writer, former owner and executive chef at the Inn at Christopher's in Sister Bay. Her ChefTerryMilligan.com is her site. Go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. I've got links to all that. You can link right to her page, and you're going to learn a whole lot there. And thank you so much for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.